First Liberty Institute, which deals with religious liberty cases, writes this. In a 6-3 decision, the U.S. Supreme Court upheld the right of former high school football coach Joe Kennedy to take a knee in quiet prayer after football games, even if he can be seen by students and the general public. Importantly, the decision from June 27, 2022, respects the constitutional rights of all public school teachers and coaches to engage in a brief personal prayer in public, end quote. Responding to this victory, Rebecca Hatfield, the president of a group called Second Vote, writes, "The Supreme Court ruling in favor of Coach Kennedy's rights to pray and exercise his right to free speech is a huge victory for our country at a time when religious liberties and free speech have been greatly under attack." This is Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. And right now, Rebecca Hatfield of Second Vote, secondvote.com, joins us on the program to discuss Coach Kennedy and the religious freedom issue. And Rebecca, it's great to have you on the program. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you, Jerry. I'm glad to be here.
Sure. Okay, so first of all, for those not familiar with the case of Coach Kennedy, what was at stake at this particular Supreme Court case?
Well, there was so much at stake. It was more than just the ability for him to have his prayer, but free speech as well, and also the right to assembly. I mean, those were at least three rights in the First Amendment that were violated by the school district firing him and not allowing him to assemble and then have his prayer and then to speak as he wished right there on the field.
Do you think that the left will say, oh, okay, well, now the religious freedom is restored and we're going to have to curtail our firing people like this in the future?
No, I don't believe so, because this was not this will not pave the way for school to be restored back in prayer to be restored back in schools, because this was about him. He was not actually in a school capacity at the time. It was finished. He was a basically just a citizen at the time, and he said a prayer, a 15-second prayer after the game. His work was done. So while he was still employed by the school district at that time, he was not in a coaching facility. So he was just acting as a regular citizen, saying a prayer on the ball field. So I believe that the court absolutely got this right. They did not deny him his right to express his free speech or exercise his right to religion or to assemble. Now, I believe that the school district and the concerned parents got scared when other students wanted to join him. They voluntarily decided to join him, and that's what got them nervous. He did not ask them. He did not invite them necessarily, but just his act of stopping and praying, they wanted to. They voluntarily joined, and that's what made them nervous.
You know, it's so strange, though. We have come so far in the wrong way, and here's what I'm thinking of. The Founding Fathers said that when new territories become new states, they created something called the Northwest Ordinance, and the idea of it was that, okay, these new territories are becoming new states to the United States of America, they should follow certain templates, certain guidelines, and in Article 3 of the Northwest Ordinance, adopted 1787, readopted 1789, they said, in reference to education, they said, quote, religion, morality, and knowledge being necessary for good government and the happiness of mankind, schools and the means of education shall forever be encouraged. Now, what this implies or directly states is that religion and morality and knowledge were part of what was to be imparted in schools. Now we've come to the place where, anything that would even remotely smack of prayer or reading the Bible or something like that in a public setting, in the school context, that's forbidden. We can't allow that under the First Amendment, so they say.
I believe that is because of a misinterpretation of church and state. I believe that has been used against religion to take that out of public entities like schools. And we absolutely need that in schools. We've seen our schools definitely decline over the years because we don't have prayer in schools. We don't have teaching of the Bible in schools. We can have all kinds of other alternative religions, alternative lifestyle teaching and things that require faith, such as evolution, but we cannot have Bible teaching in school. We can't talk about God. We can't talk about beliefs in school. So that is absolutely the reason why those things have departed.
You know, that's interesting you say that, that you can't even have religion in school, because you're in the state of Tennessee, correct? I once did a
correct.
Story for my employer, D. James Kennedy Ministries, and part of D. James Kennedy Ministries now is Providence Forum, which I am the executive director of. And so anyway, about 25 years ago or something like that, I went and did a church and state type TV story for D. James Kennedy Ministries and interviewed this girl who got an F in school for writing a paper about Jesus, an historical paper about Jesus, although it had previously been approved. Meanwhile, there were other students who wrote wrote their papers about religious things such as the occult, and it was accepted. Those papers were accepted. Hers was rejected. Jesus was not accepted. So it's not just that they ban religion per se from the public schools, it's really more specifically they ban Christianity.
Absolutely. They ban anything that talks about Christ or God or Christian, Judeo-Christian beliefs. That is absolutely. And they definitely want a religion that is not Christian or Christ. Like when I say religion, like there are things that are cult-based that they would consider to be absolutely allowed, but we don't consider that to be a religion. That would not be something we would consider faith-based, but it would be allowed in schools. But I have I met someone at a convention recently. Her daughter is in college, and she was given an assignment that went totally against her beliefs. And she came to her mother, and she said, "Mother, what should I do? If I write this, this goes against my beliefs completely. But if I don't write this, then I'm going to fail." Her mother gave her, she prayed about it, and her mother gave her some wonderful advice. She said, "This is what I want you to do. I want you to write it the way they want you to write it, this is what I want you to do. I want you to use it for your advantage. You need to know how to fight against them. Use this for power to fight against their arguments. Use this to learn wisdom, how to counter when they counter what you know is truth." So I thought that was very wise, because she knew that her daughter was working so hard in the school to get the good grades, to pass, earn the degree that she wanted. And she knew that if she failed, then this would not get her where she wanted to go and not be the light and salt that she wanted. So she said, "Go ahead and write it, but write it as if you are countering what they are, write their arguments and counter it, because you know that you're going to need to be able to go against their arguments." And she did that, and she passed, but she used that information to later on be able to combat. It's almost like a lesson for her how to dig into their false arguments and counter their lies, counter their agenda. And that's probably what a lot of kids have to do in these situations, these academia, because they are completely brainwashing our youngsters and our college age kids.
It's interesting, though, that the Supreme Court did rule in this way, on behalf of Coach Kennedy, and that's a good thing. I mean, these Supreme Court cases, they set precedents, and important precedents.
It is a wonderful thing. I celebrate, and I thank the Supreme Court for doing this. This was absolutely the right judgment, because this man has a right to pray anywhere that he chooses. Any American should be able to. And just because this man is a public officer does not mean that he cannot stop and pray on a ball field. Mm-hmm. They were using his employment and his coaching position against him to try to restrict him from his rights. And that is absolutely wrong. If he were trying to get his students during school time or during the game or something like that, I could see where their argument might have been possibly based out of previous judgments. But this man was not doing that. He absolutely had every right to stop at the end of the game and pray for 15 seconds. And I thank him also for his fight. He kept fighting. He kept pushing. And I would love to see more and more like this.
First Liberty, First Liberty Institute, Kelly Shackelford's group, they're the ones that took this case. They took the ball down the court and they won, and we praise God for that. And you were mentioning earlier some of these students that are required to write something, let's say against their, conscience and, you know, otherwise they'll be flunked out, you know, or whatever, that kind of thing. And the Alliance Defending Freedom, which is another one of these legal groups that was founded by Dr. D. James Kennedy, the founder ultimately of this radio ministry right here that, you know, I'm talking you on. And then also Bill Bright and, James Dobson and Marlon Maddox and Larry Burkett. They founded the Alliance Defending Freedom. These groups are so important. They're really doing the Lord's work during this time of darkness in America today.
They really are. They are pillars, and they're the ones that we can look back to. They've been fighting for the past 20, 30 years, and I've listened to their commentary. I've read their articles, and I appreciate all the hard work that they've put in, and they've paved the way for these things to happen. And I so appreciate the Supreme Court for interpreting the Constitution correctly. And I also appreciate the research and the hard work that Second Vote researchers do, because we actually score companies on education. That's something that we take very seriously, because we want the consumers to know which companies are supporting false education or the CRT or the education programs that deter truth from being taught in schools. And you know that there's so many out there, so many agenda-driven either curriculums or agendas or programs that are in place to actually teach children things that parents do not want them to know. And so this is where school choice, parental guidance of the curriculum. These are the things that we score companies on. You wouldn't think that a company should be involved or would be involved in the education of your child, but they absolutely are. They're coming more and more involved in every aspect of our lives, whether
and,
it's...
And then on the wrong side. They're involved, but on the wrong side.
Well, absolutely.
Which reminds
only,
me... Let me
17...
Yeah, let me have you do this. Explain to us what is Second Vote. You kept saying we do this and we do that. So define for us what is SecondVote.com all about.
Oh, sorry. Yes, absolutely. Okay, so Second Vote is a nonprofit organization that has been around for 10 years. And this is a very important work that we're doing. We are scoring companies that to see where they fall in their donations and their agendas and their initiatives, whether they're liberal or conservative. So we would score a very conservative company that gave generously to things like pro-life organizations and freedom of speech initiatives and all kinds of, like, whether it was police officers or community, good community initiatives, we would give them a 5. And then a company that gave to Planned Parenthood or wanted to restrict or do more gun control laws or restrict, you know, citizens from having the ability to protect themselves, we would score them low, like say a 1. So 1 is not good. That's very liberal. And 5 is very conservative. And that's good. 3 would be in the middle. That's neutral. Those are usually the businesses that are just minding their business and they're just about their business. And we celebrate the 3s because that's exactly what we want them to do. We want them to focus on their business if they're not going to be contributing to good things. So in our score population, that's what I was about to say a while ago, only 17% of our scored businesses are actually conservative leaning. We have about 26% that are neutral, which, like I said, we celebrate the neutral. Those are great. But then that leaves a large majority that are leaning left. So they absolutely do encroach in our lives, whether it's we see them in our advertising, our culture, in our schools, and in our churches as well. So it's everywhere. It's all around us. And it's very hard once you get so accustomed to using Amazon or Google or Target or, you know, whatever the entity is. It's very comfortable. It's very natural. It's sometimes it seems like the only option. It's very difficult. That's why Second Vote is around, to show you there are other options. You have choices. You're not railroaded. You might feel like it, but you're not. And we want to present to you the better options.
Yeah, we have half a minute left, but I'm reminded, you know, when the Roe v. Wade was overturned, several companies came forward and said, oh, okay, we're going to send, you know, as a benefit, we'll pay for the abortion and the travel expenses to our employees. And major, major companies saying that, Amazon, Starbucks, et cetera.
Absolutely. And we are working on compiling a list today. We're going to have that published today
just
of which companies
know.
Are doing that so that consumers know.
Yep. SecondVote.com. Second is spelled the number 2, N-D, vote.
Yes.
Rebecca.com. And again, Rebecca Hatfield is the president of that. Thank you, Rebecca, for being with us. All the best.
Thank you, Jerry, so much.